I've been looking in the book of Mark, and I spent a lot of time last week looking through Mark. And if you look through Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4 is a great chapter. There's a lot of parables that Jesus gives, and a lot of great parables that we can draw so much from. And he goes through a number of parables. He starts with the parable of the sower and the seed. He moves on and talks about the seed, the parable of the seed that grows. He talks about the mustard seed, the parable of the mustard seed. So he's given a lot of teaching. This is a day that Jesus is doing a lot of teaching. And we talked about this at our church on Sunday. And then after all that day, an entire day of teaching, and if you get a sense, sometimes it's very helpful to get a sense, to get a picture of what's taking place in the Word, to see it in your mind so you can see what's really happening. A lot of times if we just read, it's easy for us to go to Mark chapter 4 and just read maybe the parable of the mustard seed, or just read, you know, the parable of the growing seed. Sometimes it's easy to just go and read a little bit, but when you read the entire story, or you read the Word of God in context, it gives you that fuller understanding of what's taking place. And when you can see what's taking place, and you picture it in your mind's eye, it really helps you understand. If you can picture yourself there, it helps you really fully understand what's taking place. So we know that Jesus is teaching on a boat because of the multitudes who are there. Now, here's the great thing. When you're in Israel, you can go to the Sea of Galilee, and you're there, and you can go to like Capernaum, and you can see right where the waters come up on the shore, and you can see the open spaces there, and you can clearly see why Jesus would have gotten out onto a boat, because if there's a multitude of people that are there, there's a great acoustic that takes place when you're on the water. So for him to get a little bit of elevation because he's in the boat, and he's on the water, and he has all those people in front of him, you can really picture and see. When you're there in Israel, you can really see why Jesus did that. So Jesus is teaching them all through this day, all of these parables. He's given them instruction. He is the Word. He's given them instruction in the Word, and he's telling them. And the disciples, he's going to give them the insights as to what these parables mean. But this is teaching for all the people, and it's teaching for you and I today. So we picture Jesus, and he spends all day on this boat. And he's on this boat teaching about the Word of God and teaching what the Word is and the power of the Word. And then after a full day of teaching, the disciples get in the boat with him and they go off away from shore. And Jesus has been teaching all day. Now, Jesus is God. He was and he is and he always will be God. Jesus is God. But Jesus, when he was here on this earth, was in a physical body. The same physical bodies that you and I have. And the limitations that you and I have, well, he's God, but he was God within this physical flesh. He had to overcome the flesh the same way that you do, the same way that I do. So Jesus, after an entire day, picture being out in that sun. If you're in Israel, I mean, there is winter seasons, but usually it's pretty sunny in Israel. So picture being out there on the water and having all that sun, all that heat on you as you're teaching all day long. You can see why Jesus is now, as they're off in the boat, the disciples, and there's several other little boats around them, and they're off into the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is sleeping in the very back of the boat. He's asleep, and the storm comes up. As Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat, the storm comes up, and the storm gets worse and worse until it's to the point where the disciples are actually fearful for their own lives. They're fearing for their lives. They're struggling. The Bible tells us, let's read what it says. This is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So this is the story. So as they're out there in the boat, and you can see that storm is getting tumultuous, and here's fishermen. They knew how serious the storm was. They're fishermen. They've been on boats. They know when their lives are in danger. And the boats are already starting to fill with water. And Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples' response to Jesus is, Jesus, don't you care? That's what they said. Teacher, do you not care? That's kind of harsh words to use with, I mean, that kind of shows where their hearts are at. Everything that God has done, the fact that Jesus is there in the flesh, is more than enough evidence that God cares for them. God became flesh. He came down and became flesh, put himself in the flesh. Of course he cares. And yet the disciples say, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we're about to perish? Well, here's the point that comes from the whole story. Well, the point that we're going to look at today. So Jesus gets up, he rebukes the storm, he rebukes the winds, all is at peace once again. He says, rebuke, be still, and the whole thing is at peace. And then he rebukes the disciples as well. And you have to ask yourself, or it's common to ask ourselves, well, why was he upset with the disciples? Well, the reason he was upset is, as you read this whole thing in context, and as you picture yourself there, if you can picture yourself being one of those disciples, look at what had transpired during the day for them. The day started with this multitude coming to Jesus and wanting to hear the word of truth that he has, wanting to hear the life that he has. And so Jesus, wanting to speak those words of truth and that life to them, gets up in this boat and he starts teaching and he continues teaching and he teaches throughout the day. So if you're one of the disciples, you've watched these multitudes as they were receiving the truth. And you heard Jesus teaching, and Jesus gives you insight into the parables. So you have the teaching, and you also have the explanation that the natural mind by itself cannot understand. And you've heard Jesus teaching on the Word and the power of the Word all day long. You've heard parables about the Word and the power of the Word all day long. God himself, Jesus, has taught you the power of the Word. And then right away, you've got a situation where you get a chance to put into practice what he had just taught you. So here's the things I want you to consider. What Jesus did is Jesus gave them a word. He said, we're going to the other side. Jesus gave them a word. They received that word. Here's my first real point I want you to see today. When you get a word, you in your individual time, whether it's on Sunday, think back towards 2 days ago. You were sitting in church. You heard the message that your pastor gave. Do you remember any of the points that were there? Did you write any of them down? I would suggest strongly that when you're in church on Sundays, write down the points. When you hear a truth from the Word of God, make a note of it. Write it down. Put it in writing to help you remember. The mere act of putting it in writing helps you remember it. But it also gives you something, a resource you can go back to remind yourself of again. Because when you get a truth, when you get a revelation, when you understand something from the Word of God, His Word, Jesus revealing Himself to you, when you get an insight into Jesus' Word, His revealing Himself to you, when you get that insight, you need to hold on to that. You need to not lose that. You need to be able to live out that word. When you get a truth from the Word of God, you've got to know it and then put it into practice right away. So go back. Can you think of any truths that you learned on Sunday? And hopefully you can remember maybe one or two points that really stood out that helped you know and understand the Word of God. It was a revelation that you didn't have before. Think about what those truths are, and then ask yourself this. Have you applied that truth to your life since then? Or is it something, because here's what happens way too easily. It is so easy for us to fall into the habit of you sit there in church on Sunday, you hear the word, the word's being presented, you're excited about it when you hear it. It's like, that's a good word. Wow, that's a good insight. I hadn't thought of that before. That's really good. You get excited, you receive the word with joy. You receive it with excitement. But then you leave church, you go through the rest of your day, you get caught up in other things. Now your mind gets diverted towards other things. You take on all the responsibilities that life has, and you forget that word that you had. Think of how many times, and I'm speaking from experience, I learned this years and years ago. The sad thing is, I've forgotten more truth. I spent a lot of time, I used to spend hours and hours listening to teachings on the Word of God. hours and hours and hours. And I came to realize I was forgetting more truth than I was retaining. Because I wasn't applying the truth that I had. When you get an insight, when you get a truth, when you get understanding, when you get revelation from the Word of God, receive it with joy. Be excited. But put that principle, put that truth to work. Put it into practice. Apply it to your life. Now, again, I challenge you, go back and think about the message you heard on Sunday. Or think about if you spent time in the Word this morning. What did you read this morning? Because if you're reading the Word of God, there's usually something that pops in your head and think, well, that's good. I haven't really thought about that. But because we don't apply it, we don't put it into practice, we forget it. It's going to be a sad reality when we come to realize how much of the truth of God that He gave us that we forgot because we didn't put it into practice. Every time I open up the Word of God, I expect that I'm going to get a new revelation. Every time I open up the Word of God, I expect I'm going to get truth, truth revealed to me. And maybe it might not be new, but maybe it is a building upon what I already knew. It's a further depth of it. Every time I open the Word, I expect He's going to speak something to me. And then when I receive that, I have to be looking for the opportunities to put that truth into practice, to apply that truth to my life. Because it's by applying that truth, by putting it into practice, that's what makes it locked in to my daily walk. That's what makes it a part of my daily faith walk. That's where it's something I can use again tomorrow and next week or 3 months from now because I've put it into practice. When you put it into practice, it's like you're locking it in to your very soul. Have you applied the Word that you've received? Have you applied the Word of God that you've received? Have you applied that Word to your life already? When you get a Word, you got to put it into practice right away. When you get a truth, put it into practice right away. Because that act of putting it into practice, locks it in. It makes it a part of your ongoing daily faith walk. Put it into practice. Jesus gave the disciples all day. He gave them all day teaching of the power of the Word of God. Then He gave them an opportunity to put it into practice, and they didn't put it into practice. And because they didn't put it into practice, that's why they were not able to stand when that storm came. You've got the Word of God. Think about the Word. Go back. If you wrote notes on Sunday, go back and read your notes. If you read the Word of God this morning, go back and read it again. And let the Holy Spirit bring back to your remembrance that truth or that revelation, that insight that you received with joy this morning. Let Him bring that back to you again. And then look for opportunities today. Look for opportunities to put that truth into practice. He gives us His Word. Let's show Him how much we appreciate His Word by putting it into practice, applying it to our lives.